Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the QuitCast. My name is Becca. Today, we are continuing with our systems thinking series, where we started off with why am I not more productive? And our second episode was why can I not keep my New Year's resolutions? And today, we're going to be talking about why can't I do what I say I will do? Why can I not follow through? I think that we get the most questions about this without people realizing this is really what they're asking. So many writers come to us talking about productivity and say, I set my own deadlines. Why can't I keep my own deadlines, right? Deadlines that I set to myself are different than deadlines I set to other people. And they talk about that like it's something that they want to fix about themselves. So one of the reasons that I like to talk about this in terms of systems is that that quality of your personality, whether you like it or not, and whether it can actually be changed or not, because there is some evidence that with a lot of repetitive work, you can change things like that about your personality, but it takes a lot of repetitive work. So as coaches, especially success coaches, my thought is if you're already wired that way, let's just use it. Like, why spend years trying to change a behavior when you could instead use that behavior to your advantage today? And so when we get asked things like, why can't I keep my own deadlines? Why can I not follow through on the plans that I make or on the promises that I make to myself? And we talk in both our Write Better Faster class and in some of our other QuitCast episodes about the difference between being data responsive and data controlling. So here's what happens. When I'm data controlling, I am able to, through various personality traits, and we won't get into all of them today, but let's just say the easiest one to talk about is there's a Jungian test and there's a Myers-Briggs variant, things like that, with those names, Kiersey, Bates, et cetera, that have a P versus J. And that's easy. Like, I'm an ENFP, I'm an ENFJ, right? You have that P versus J. So I'm not a huge fan of the archetype discussions of all ENFPs do this because they're only half relevant half the time. But I do really like to talk about the continuums of the letters. So being data responsive versus being data controlling. And that's one of the parts of the P versus J discussion. So if you think of being data responsive, how do I respond to data as being a continuum, and you as a person potentially land somewhere on that continuum? How data responsive you are, how P are you, how J are you? We talk about that a lot in sort of the larger cultural context. But what that means is, as a data controlling person, as a judger, in that language, right? I don't like that word, but because I think it gets a negative connotation. But as a data controlling person, I'm able to sort things as they come at me and be more of a live decider about whether they fit in with the priorities that I've set for myself or not. So if I'm a planner and I really like to plan things and execute them, right? Because there's a difference between just planning and then planning and executing. Those are two totally different talents or skill sets. And so that's the first important thing to say. Not all plans are meant to be executed is a really important QTP or question the premise moment that we need to get under our belts. But if I am a planner where I plan and execute as a J, let's say, and I'm more on the continuum of being a J potentially, then I'm constantly making decisions about data as they come at me about whether or not they relate to the priorities or the plans that I've set for myself. And I'm much more conscious of how that process happens. It's a little bit higher of a vigilance level, right? And so there's some benefit to that and there's some downside to it, right? Like being aware of all that data can sometimes be
very not oppressive in like an oppression sense, but a little bit oppressive because it's a lot of attention to spend, right? So just being conscious of there's upsides and downsides to each personality type. Every personality scale has upsides and downsides. Anyway, if I'm more of a judger or I'm more data controlling, then I'm able to more carefully decide that doesn't fit in with my, so I reject that data. I say that's not part of the plan today, or that's not on the agenda, or whatever it is that I'm thinking to myself. And so that's a capacity. And when I think of the P versus J, I always like to think there's a midline, right, where the two touch each other, that there is some, not crossover, but there's a point where you can be a little of one and a little of the other. Many of us, and I'm not sure about the percentages off the top of my head, but of course, just being standard deviation, I would say, let's just say 60%. So 60% of us who either identify as P or J, roughly, right, have a little bit of each of the qualities. I personally have a little bit of P and a little bit of J, but I more strongly identify with the P part because I am so data responsive. When things come at me, I want to respond to every single thing, and I have a harder time sorting the data as it comes at me without some sort of rubric that I have put onto my vigilance level. And so, but we'll talk about that in a second. But if I'm in the middle somewhere, I might have a little bit of capacity to be data controlling and a little capacity to be data responsive. And this is where the continuum can get a little bit trickier. It's much easier to make these decisions when we're on the extremes, right? If I'm a super P, as we call it, or a super J, then it's easier to define where I rest on those continuums. But when I'm very data controlling, what I'm essentially doing is, if you think about the Millennium Falcon and how the light comes at you when you jump to light speed, and all of a sudden you become aware that there are all these points of light at light speed where before the stars were so, they almost blend into the background, right? But when they start to come at you, they all become very overwhelming because there are so many of them. And a person who's more data controlling would be able to say, all right, if I'm a J and I'm data controlling, it's like I'm looking specifically for the points of data that fit in with either my plan or my agenda or my priority or my focus or whatever it is that I'm using as a rubric to decide whether the data is worth responding to or not, or whether the data belongs inside of my purview. And that type of person is the kind of person for whom planning and executing is much easier because they are constantly being vigilant about whether or not each thing they respond to belongs in their purview. So the more data controlling you are, the easier it is to say, I'm going to set a deadline and I'm going to meet that deadline, especially if there's also external pressure added to that, where I've paid an editor for something or I've set a pre-order. But if I'm not able to understand whether or not one particular action, one particular piece of data fits in the moment, and this is the super important part, it's the subconscious vigilance about whether the data fits in or not. Many of us have enough P or are extremely P perceiving, so that's data responsive, where we are responding to everything as it comes across our radar. So that Millennium Falcon effect, where we see all of the stuff, we're like, I'm overwhelmed because I have to think and respond to each single one. And then every single thing that comes across my desk, I'm constantly responding to it. It's why one of the things that we suggest the most often to high P people or data responsive people, because there are strengths that align with that as well, is don't reach for your phone first thing in the morning. Don't open the internet. Like, don't even allow the data into your field of vision, because it'll become so much harder later to control your responsiveness to that desire to keep going back and back and back and back. And yes, there's some dopamine receptor work going on there, but we talk about that in another quick cast. So I'm not going to get super into that. But the more chemically responding you are to those data points, the more important it is to know that you have less and less control. So the more P you are, the more data responsive you are, the less control you have on a moment by moment basis over whether or not something fits in to your rubric that you've decided. So let's put some skin on this and see what it really looks like. Let's say I've set a deadline for myself that by May 1st, I'm going to finish this book. And so somewhere in my head on whatever the date is today, let's say it's March 9th, right? On somewhere in my head, I have decided to set this intention, but the more data responsive I am, the less that point in time matters to me, the farther I get away from it. Today, I'm going to be really conscious about it because I have increased my vigilance, or as a P, I'm pushing myself more into that data controlling part of my brain because I have an intention that I'm setting, right? And so I want to be more vigilant today. But what happens is the farther I get away from March 9th, 2021, the closer I get to May 1st, the in between those two dates, there's more pressure on March 9th and more pressure on May 1st, but there's less pressure in between because I'm farther away from those two intentional points in time. And when I'm data responsive, I'm always responding to the things as they're coming at me. So the farther I get away from setting that intention, the less pressure there is internally for that data that I decided back on March 9th. It's almost like I forget that it even exists because there's so much other data that's coming at me and I don't have that J capacity, that data controlling capacity to keep reminding myself that that's my priority. So I either have to create, if I want to make sure that I'm vigilant about this, I either have to create a system for myself that is constantly putting actual pressure on me, because this is the key about the data responsiveness. People who are data responsive are so pressure prompted, like they are so pressure prompted that the pressure of the individual moment and the data that's coming at them is the most important thing to them. This is, again, this is why we encourage people who are data responsive to not reach for their phone first thing in the morning, because they enter a loop where they continue to want to respond to this pressing data of social media or email or other people, texting, whatever, even though it's not as important to them on a J scale, right? On the prioritization scale, but they're not doing an every moment control of the data based on a rubric that they've decided is important. They're responding in the moment. It is so important to understand both of these types of people are important for us to have in the world. What we don't want to say is all you P's should just become J's. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying become more data controlling. Because if you know anything about neuroscience, the way that our brains are acting in any one moment is a function of how we have been shaping them to act over our lifetime. And in order to change those things, right, in order to have that neuroplasticity that everybody talks about all the time, you have to do active work against the neuroconcrete that you've already created. Like you either have to break it or you have to wet it and remold it, but it can sometimes take years. You can't even do it, right? Because it's so concrete, but it can sometimes take years. And it bothers me a little bit the way we talk about neuroplasticity as though it's just something that you can access at any one moment. Oh, you can just make those neurons fire in a completely different way. There is not evidence that that is possible on a grand scale. There's very limited evidence about it in general. There's limited research about this because it's come up so recently. And so I just want to remind everybody to be super cautious about expecting that you're just going to wake up a different person because neuroplasticity exists. This is a misunderstanding of how neural pathways function. So what we want to do is to say, in the places where we really have more plasticity, where we really have a desire to change, then let's change and let's work on that. But in the places where we don't have to change the way that we are, Don't change the way you are. It's amazing to be data responsive. It makes you an adaptive person. Data responsive people have an intense amount of value to the world. And to just say everyone should become more like a J is to hear the wrong thing. So again, I just want to say P's are wonderful. I'm a P. We love P's. They're awesome. Don't stop being a P. But what you have to understand is, how does your data responsiveness function? If you are more likely to be responsive to data, then just know, if you make a plan today and you don't execute it, it's not because you're stupid. It's not because you're lazy. It's not because you don't care. It's because you're data responsive. And that data responsiveness makes you make different decisions in the moment than you would have made yesterday, right? Or a week ago or a month ago. It's part of why we don't keep resolutions. It's part of why we don't execute plans that we make, but not all plans are meant to be executed. And this is so important. The key takeaway for this for me is, the more data responsive you are, and even some data controlling people, remember that midline, even some data controlling people are going to have a lot of data responsiveness in their life, especially if you've developed adaptive systems in certain arenas, like in how you work with other people or in how you have been in jobs, in relationships and things like that. We're more likely to be a little bit more data responsive just in general. And so the consciousness of this can be a really good thing. We just have to know how to utilize it. Some of it is, not everybody needs to make plans. And I know this is like, you know, going against what everybody says, but question the premise literally of everything. Just because somebody says everyone should plan doesn't mean everyone should plan. I can tell you from coaching people to success and from coaching people out of not having success that not everyone plans. So this whole mantra of, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, is not true for everyone. Question the premise. It is just not true. So some of us, when we set plans, the more data responsive we are, we have to be cautious about what role plans play in our lifetime, especially in our productivity. And we don't want to get down on ourselves because we can't meet a plan just because we said, on March 9th, I decided something I want to do on May 1st. But now the farther I get away from that date, the less pressure I have. It would be so much better to create a system for yourself as a data responsive person that includes daily pressure for yourself, or at least regular pressure for yourself, or some kind of regular reaffirmation. This is why we do challenges so often, right? And this is one thing we're going to do more often in 2021 and beyond, is to do more challenges. So right now we're in the middle of this development challenge. We're encouraging you to look at your strengths every single day. We're posting a brand new piece of content on all of our social media platforms and encouraging us to think about our strengths and about developing our strengths every day. It's a 34-day challenge. We're going to continue to do challenges like this because challenges help a lot of data responsive people. If you're a person who's data responsive, the reason you're not keeping your plans is because plans are not righteous for you. You don't have to plan. It's not necessary. If you instead think about, what am I going to create? How am I going to create pressure for myself every single day? So my just saying, I'm going to hit this March 1st or May 1st pre-order, that's not the same thing for a data responsive person as it is for a data controlling person. So we just want to be conscious of how we change that. So let's say instead I'm going to form a challenge, or I'm going to join a challenge where I have pressure on myself to write every single day. Because as a data responsive person, when I put a little bit of pressure on myself, I respond better to the things that I want to do. I prioritize better because the data responsiveness of myself is not a lack of capacity to prioritize. It's a desire to respond to every piece of information that comes at us. And what we need to know about ourselves is, oh, I'm a very responsive person. So this is how Becca handles it. When I'm on a deadline, I stop, I pull back from social media, I pull back from email, I pull back from my relationships. This is not a bad thing. I think we have this concept in our head that somehow if we just had this work-life balance, like if we could just work a little bit every day, that somehow our their lives would magically be better. And for some people, that is just not the case. For some people, it is. Like for there are people for whom that is the best possible thing they could do. And then there are people for whom that's the worst thing that you could do. It's so much better for you to write either in spurts or in binges. And we need to normalize this and make this more okay. One of the most frustrating things about being a success coach for authors is that we internalize these messages of success that other people have started to preach at us. Like somehow if I don't meet the standard that this person who whoever it is, and I'm sure they're a lovely person. If I don't meet the standard this person has said, then somehow I'm an actual bad person. There's something wrong with me that I need to change. And I just want to tell you, just because you don't keep your deadlines to yourself, just because you don't hit the plans that you set, does not mean you're a bad person. It just means you're following the wrong advice. So stop following that advice and start thinking about yourself as a data responsive person. If you are consistently not meeting your own deadlines, not meeting your own plans, consider stopping the way that you plan. Consider changing it. Think about a way you can create pressure for yourself every day. Maybe you just stop reaching for your phone first thing in the morning and instead you open your manuscript as the first thing you do when you get to your computer. Maybe that's the thing that changes. You would not believe how many people in our classes, that's the first and only thing they change, and it completely changes their productivity. Because we subscribe or ascribe to a big effect, big cause fallacy. And this is such a major fallacy. If you assume that I want a big effect, I want to get faster, and therefore I have to do a big cause, like I need a huge system, I have to change my entire life, that's usually not the way that it works. Usually what you have to do is change one small thing. We call them keystone habits. It's one small thing that changes the rest of your trajectory of a day or of a week or of a month or of your project or your book, whatever it is. But the key for me is we have to deconstruct the big cause, big effect fallacy. Little tiny things. Open your manuscript first instead of opening the internet. That's all I want you to do, right? If you've never done that before, just try that. See how it works. That's all I want you to do. If you are a highly data responsive person, if that whole Millennium Falcon thing has resonated with you and you have a hard time prioritizing in the moment, understand there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You don't need fixing. You just need to find a strategy that supports you being data responsive instead. Maybe what you do is join a challenge, or you make a commitment to your friends to meet them for a walk every morning, or you text somebody, ask someone to text you to remind you to do this or whatever. So you create that pressure for yourself. And then you know you don't want that pressure all the time. Like you don't want to force yourself to be vigilant all the time. That's not what we need peas in the world for. We need you to be on when you're on and off when you're off. And that's the most beneficial thing you can do if you are data responsive, is to be on when you're on and off when you're off. Anyway, I'm going to stop now because I feel like I could just go on preaching about this for like forever. And I feel like I just want to get this up and out and have everybody see this, and we'll talk about it. If you join our Patreon, patreon.com/BeccaSime, there is a level where our topical call registrations are one of the benefits. And what we do in these is we do group coaching, big group coaching. Everybody comes on, we have a set topic. This time we're going to talk about this exact topic. And we do a 90-minute live coaching session with a group where people ask questions about this topic and we answer them. And then we do two of those a month on that Patreon level. If you join the Patreon, then you will be able to be part of these topical calls. And if this really resonated with you, that may be what you need to do with us today, is you may need to come and join the Patreon, come become an insider, join our topical calls and get some coaching around this. My hope is that if you can just start thinking of yourself as a data responsive person who needs more pressure in those moments between when the pressure happens. So when I set the intention versus when the intention comes to fruition, I need more pressure in between those two spaces, or I'm not going to be able to accomplish whatever the goal is that I set out to accomplish. And that's not a bad thing about myself. That's just the way that I'm wired. I just need to learn how to work with my wiring instead of looking for best practices that are somehow going to fix me or fix the way that I am. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You're just wired differently than other people. And we just want to find a way to help you to get the productivity that you want out of that experience of being wired that way. We don't want to change the way that you are. We just want to help to support that. So thank you all so much for being here today. I hope this has been helpful today. Please ask questions if you have them. And I'll see you on the next QuickCast, everybody. Bye.